We're not gonna be able to start if we keep laughing.
I'm just picturing Connell just beating somebody with a in his Dr. Holocaust getup. Listen to me, Sonny.
You f***ing kids! You f***ing kids!
Ruined everything!
You ruined everything! Womp, womp.
Hey guys, it's Jamie Johnston here, and we have another episode of The Prototype. I'm joined by the one and only man who is a bird. The Bird Man.
Hi! My wife just handed me cheese.
Oh, but birds don't eat cheese. And we have a special guest today.
Hi. My name is Connell Macbeth, better known to the fan community as Toronto's greatest supervillain, Dr. Holocaust.
Why the fuck aren't you on this Rob Ford problem, man? Come on.
Rob Ford problem? Rob Ford was a problem when he was trying to ruin my city. He is now his own solution. I don't have to do anything. I just have to sit back and watch as the world consumes him.
I think you need to make an appointment and go down to City Hall as Dr. Holocaust and see what he does.
Just stand in front of City Hall in a soapbox, just laughing, just lazily chortling into a megaphone. It's like,
you're doing all the hard work.
Thanks for doing my job, asshole.
You would end up on CP24 so fast.
So friggin' quick.
Anyway.
See, that's the thing. I think it's a good way to bring up my, like, popularity on the internet. It would just be to pull some kind of crazy public stunt.
Do it. Anyway, Jamie.
Today on The Prototype, we're talking about the last generation of gaming. As you guys all know, our last episode was the now current gen that it just came out, and we're gonna talk about what people might have missed and just kind of everything that was in the past, mostly Xbox 360, PS3, the Wii, slash maybe even some Wii U. I don't know where that generation really actually is, and even handhelds, etc.
This cheese is really fucking hot.
Cheese, like, physically hot, or
it's got jalapenos and shit in it. Sorry.
Oh, okay. So we've got three.
Are you okay?
To talk about this.
Are you, like, having an episode?
I think I'm gonna have to start drinking a lot of sweet tea, but please continue.
Oh god.
So you want about? Now that I've confused the fuck out of all of you,
it's all right. You can just go and die in the corner. Me and Carl got this now. He'll be my new co-host.
Hey, what's up?
So anyway, where do we want to? Holy shit! Where do we want to start?
Hopefully, with you not having to go to the hospital. But
okay, well, all right. Here's my question to the panelists: what was your first next gen console, and why did you pick that one?
Oh shit! Mine was the Xbox 360. I went to a buddy's house and played Gears of War for the first.
No, I'm getting on.
And
sorry,
the blood, guts, and awesomeness of that. I don't know. I went and bought an Xbox 360, I think 3 days later.
You know what?
What about you, Connell?
Like, the Gears of War and Halo are, like, the only reasons to own an Xbox, in my opinion. The previous gen, at one point, next gen consoles that I was playing with. I mean, I ended up picking a PS3 because it just had the games that I was playing at that point. Like, I was really big into Infamous. It looked like a really cool game. It was PS3 exclusive. There were a few other games like Saints Row and GTA 4 that were coming out, and I was like, you know what, I want to play those games, so I'm going to get myself a PS3. This was a little ways after it had already come out, though. So... yeah.
What was the first one you got, Dad?
I got my Xbox 360 in Christmas 2006. Now, how I got my 360 is a point of shame.
Did you beat up some child for it?
I wish I did. No.
Yeah, you did.
Like the big man child I am, I said, you know what, Mom and Dad, if you don't get this for me, I'm going to kill myself.
Oh.
Now, allow me to frame that. I was going through, obviously, a terrible breakup at the time, and I hate Christmas because of this reason. And honestly, I needed something to take my mind off of school and everything else. So I'm like, look, man, this would go a long way into me de-stressing the fuck out. Because I'm like, look, Mom, Dad, if you don't get me this console, I promise you, every weekend I'm going to the strippers. So we need to come to some kind of an agreement here.
I will go to the strippers. I will go to them, and they will know me.
They will know my name.
I'm not sure if that's a threat or more of a just something you should have been doing anyway.
Ask any of my college friends. I went quite often. Good times are had by all.
God, I can't even afford that. Like, that's just, strippers are expensive.
Let me just say this. The night I got dumped by my ex-fiance, I had access to the wedding money. I blew $4,000 in a night. I am awesome. Moving on.
See, usually you would say I wouldn't believe it, but at the strippers, yeah. I could see that pretty quick.
That and it's me, so.
Yeah, you'd probably be paying like six of them at a time to be dancing in your lap.
Make it rain, make it rain. Anyway, my first game that I got was Dead Rising. And I was playing that in the dorms before I got my 360. And I'm like, holy fuck, I have to have this. And I only got back in the gaming because of PS2, which I'd only gotten a year or two beforehand.
Hmm.
And it was Guitar Hero that brought me into the next generation. So that's my little tale.
Dead Rising was pretty fun. It's not like the Dead Rising 3 that came out recently for next gen.
Although I will say this, though. Dead Rising was the only next gen game that required you to have an HD TV. Because
for 360?
Yeah, because the text on it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Was just so fucking small.
Yeah, like I couldn't fucking read. Like, I'm guessing I go here.
There was actually a lot of games like that because back when I got it, I had, CRT tube TV. And there's so many games that I remember being like, well, can't read it, so I'll just wing it.
And that's how you got so good?
Sure.
Good answer.
But now,
what were some other games that really kind of stuck out in your mind? Or actually, was there a console you were dead set against?
The Wii, I only bought the Wii so that I could put my cube away and continue playing my GameCube games, but on a Wii. There was like the redux of Resident Evil 4, which I really enjoyed because I really loved that game, and then Smash Brothers Brawl. It was the only real reason I got a Wii, was so that I could play Smash Brothers Brawl.
I literally bought a Wii for Smash Bros, and then I think I picked up Skyward Sword, got pissed off because it was giving me carpal tunnel.
Sweet.
And I think I got the Fire Emblem on Wii. I think I have a total of 5 games for my Wii.
Nice.
So
I got my Wii by doing a wedding. Actually, I've only paid for one of my next-gen consoles.
You're a hooker.
Kind of, actually. I do favors. I did a wedding stint as a photographer for my friend Olivia, and I'm like, hey, Mike, what do you want? Not knowing what I could have made as a photographer, I'm like, get me a Wii in 5 games. And I got a Wii in 5 games.
Well, then.
I think it worked out okay, and I got my PS3. Well, that's a story I'll tell a little bit later on, but that one, I earned it in less than 24 hours.
Nice.
I really wanted to play Metal Gear. I needed to know what the fuck happened.
I actually bought mine near Christmas when I was working at EB Games. I think I bought it when it was at the $100 mark. And then I didn't use it for so long that I sold it for, I think, crap. $120.
Nice.
And then I bought one, I think, couple months ago for $50, and it's the backwards compatible one now. So I think I got the best kind of situation that happened there.
With me, I remember being really dead set against the PS3, actually for a really long time. And I can't even give you a good reason why. So I will give you the shitty reason why. Fanboyism. I was so convinced Microsoft could do no wrong, because Sony at the time, now early on in my career, Sony treated me kind of like dirt. And it wasn't until the last 2 years Sony and I have really started to get along. And I was just so dead set against it. But it was Metal Gear Solid 4 that really changed things for me, because it was Blu-ray. It was exclusive to the console. It's never going to get ported. And I'm thinking, oh, fuck, man.
It took you that long to be turned around? PS3, I bought probably, like, I don't know, a month, or probably in the same month as my 360. I think I actually bought them, like, very close to each other. And PS3 has been my go-to system for quality and reliance. I've gone through 4 Xbox 360s, and I'm still on the first PS3.
I've gone through technically 2 PS3s, only because I had a partial hard drive failure, and Sony replaced it for me. Because, you know, media, I need to get reviews out, so yay. I've only gone through 1X... No, I think I've sent 2 Xbox 360s in for repair, but because I'm media and yay, I had them back in under 24 hours from Microsoft. Like, I sent them in at 9 o'clock in the morning. I had it back by 10 o'clock the next day. I was like, holy dog shit.
See, mine was the issue of every time I got an Xbox, it would have one of the issues that was covered by the 2-year warranty literally a week after the 2 years. Like, for 2 of them was that, and then I got the Gears of War edition, like, slim version. Took it home, started playing Battlefield 3, and there was lots of grinding noises, and I was like, oh, well, that's... These are supposed to be quiet, I thought, for the new Slims. So took that back. Got another one, and, well, I'm still using it, but it likes to make the odd noise that it shouldn't. So I'm not exactly a huge fan of Microsoft, but I try not to let that be bias on any of the games or anything.
Well, like, I got no problem with Microsoft. It is just the awful, terrible crap that they got up to with the last system, in my opinion. Just, like, how unreliable and messed up it got. And then on top of that, then how bad the Xbox One ended up being. Like, every system has problems, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Every system has problems. But they just... it's like they took a semi-automatic rifle, aimed it at their foot, and just let loose. They couldn't shoot themselves in the foot faster or harder than they did when they did E3 with the Xbox One.
And it's really funny... Because with the original Xbox, that thing, I literally dropped mine down a flight of stairs. It put a hole in the fucking wall, and it was fine.
You could beat people to death with the original Xbox.
Yeah, that thing was sturdy as fuck.
And then every system they've put out since then has been awful.
It's one of those things where I'm just wondering if that's just the way technology is going now, because they're just throwing in cheap-ass parts to get them out. But
well, one of the things that... made me a fanboy and why I liked Microsoft for so long, Xbox Live. That service has worked consistently better than anything Sony has ever put out. I'm sorry, I like PSN's store layout, but fuck PSN. And it's only gotten good because of PS Plus, but we'll talk about that a little bit later on in the show. And Nintendo has never done online right because they're afraid they can't control it.
Yeah, I've noticed that. Like, Nintendo is just not done online almost at all.
Every time they have done it, it's been so fucking bad. Have you ever tried to play Smash online?
Nope.
So, ew.
It's so laggy.
I would only play Smash in person, and just... I don't know why Nintendo just wanted to do it like this, and I've never understood why. And it's weird, though, that Nintendo, I think, did more for gaming... as a whole, than I think Microsoft and Sony did. And here's what I mean. Nintendo did one thing right. It made video games accessible again. And what I mean by that is, by putting the Wii in so many homes, because it had a huge install base, the media loved it. It did so much for the image of gamers that there are people, like, I still hear this today, even from my sister-in-law, who's a nurse practitioner that doctors used to use the Wii to train their hands to be steady.
Wow.
When they perform surgeries. And I'm thinking, well, first off, the motion detection on that thing is terrible. I don't know.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Can we not have those guys performing surgery on us? Thanks.
Yeah.
Because they must be Wii fucking Sports. Terrible.
Well, no, here's the thing. If you got to be steady enough to be steady through a Wii controller, then you're pretty goddamn steady.
Actually, yeah, maybe.
Like, it's like surgery on freaking hard mode is like surgery with those things.
But it's... It did so well, and you'd see so many people getting up and active with it. I mean, Wii Fit, I think, had a very unexpected thing that it changed the stigma of gamers looking like me to gamers looking fairly athletic, stuff like that. I'm not saying it started the whole kind of dude bro thing. We can thank Madden and Halo for that.
Oh, fuck, not Halo. It was Call of Duty, man.
Yeah, well, it was both. I mean, basically, there was a series years ago that Jared, Pro Jared did called Name Tags. And there was a phrase they used to use. It was called Gramers. And it was these assholes with the backwards hats and the sandals and the shorts that would play nothing but either Halo or COD.
Shooters.
And Madden. Yeah, or shooters. And they
shooters and sports.
They'd be these fucking dude bros. And it started this whole new class warfare among nerds and jocks, but the Wii always stood in the middle of that, and that was mostly the public's perception. Unless shit went terrible, then it was the Xbox's fault.
yeah,
pretty much.
Well, it's funny, there's this article going around, I haven't verified its authenticity, so take this with a grain of salt, is I saw this linked back to Reddit, is there was a picture, and they said, over the weekend, we held a LAN party. We raised something like 37,000 pieces of food, told all the local news stations. None of them wanted to cover it. And one of the quotes from the Reddit thread was something along the lines of, well, video games aren't news unless they're bad.
Pretty much.
And it's funny because the Wii did so much to bring... to make that negative connotation go away.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it's amazing. Like, I remember seeing feel-good stories how Nintendo has donated so-and-so to Shady Acres Nursery Home or whatever. And yeah, there were old people playing Wii fucking bowling.
Yep.
I kind of want to see a YouTube clip of an old person trying to play Wii bowling.
Oh, and then getting so angry they try to throw the controller through the TV, but it just, like, lamely pitters away at their feet. Fucking old. Anyway, go on.
My father-in-law, actually, at their place, they're not gamers. Yet a Wii sits in their living room.
Huh.
Which is astounding to me. Now, around Christmas time, the only time I actually typically go to family events, because, hey, free stuff is awesome. I'm a terrible person. I tend to bring Smash Brothers over and a couple of GameCube controllers, because... ain't nobody plays Smash with a Wiimote. And it's a fun way to keep the kids, quote-unquote, distracted. And
yeah,
it's that family-friendly console. I mean, Microsoft and Sony have got family-friendly games, but let's face it, Viva Pinata is not going to top Mario Party.
Nope. Fuck and no. It's like the consoles on their own. Like, here's the thing. Xbox mainly panders towards non-gamer gamers. Like, guys who want to play video games but don't want to be caught with the stigma that playing video games is uncool. So that's where the Xbox really started fitting in, with, like, guys that like to play shooters and, you know, Madden and crap like that. The PlayStation, in my opinion, really started lending itself to single players.
Lot of RPGs on PS3.
Yeah, like, just people that like to just sit down by themselves, play some games, mellow out, and whatever. There was not a lot of multiplayer games for the PlayStation system. And the only multiplayer you ever really saw was online. There wasn't really any, like, sit-down multiplayer with a bunch of people in your room kind of thing like they did with the Wii. The Wii console just cornered that market. Party games and family-friendly fun. It was a console that was for non-gamers, period. Just people, like old people who wanted to do the Wii Fit thing, or like kids who wanted to play video games but didn't know how to really play stuff like Madden or Infamous or whatever. So, yeah.
Those damn kids are still on my friggin' servers, though.
Well, a lot of people felt really betrayed when we came out with, Nintendo was the video game company. Unlike Sony and Microsoft that have these huge, companies backing them up, so if they suck and fail, it doesn't really matter that much. Nintendo makes games and consoles and nothing else. They are not part of any other industry. And then now they're making a console for people that don't play games normally. People that were Nintendo fanboys, committed ritual suicide at this point. They felt hugely betrayed. I felt betrayed at that point. I loved the whole motion control thing. They had a lot of really cool new games, like Elebits and, Mario Kart, but you're driving with the controller and stuff like that. I thought that was, actually fun and intuitive. But at the end of the day, they weren't making the same kind of games that I was expecting from them.
We're going to have to get some links to put in the description of people committing suicide over the Wii.
Sweet. Yeah, no, they got the little controller jabbing themselves repeatedly in the stomach.
Or they threw it through the TV and somehow it electrocutes them. That'd be awesome.
One of the things I'm sorry, Jamie, go ahead.
I was going to say, one thing that I'd like to do is, since we all have our own kind of market here of what we played on these old consoles, and we probably, I know I'm in range of seeing my collection. I know Dodd is. I'm not sure about you, Connell, but I kind of wanted to go system by system and maybe pick one of your favorite but not common titles. So, if you were an Xbox title, you don't say Halo, you don't say Call of Duty, it's something that you have that is very out of the ordinary. Mm-hmm. Let's start with PlayStation 3, because we haven't really talked too much about PlayStation 3 yet.
One of my favorite games for the PlayStation 3 that wasn't
mainstream, basically.
Shit. Okay, I'm going to go I'm going to kind of cheat on this one a little bit. The remake of Shadow of the Colossus.
Shadow of the Colossus / ICO?
Yes. I didn't play ICO that much, because it's effectively a game that is one great big long fetch quest. And it's every game that has different quests and missions and stuff like that always have that one where you're just babysitting somebody as you're going through somewhere. The game is just a really long mission like that. You just babysit this one chick, apparently. So I was like, I got no interest in playing that. Shadow of the Colossus, though, was just such an amazing game to me. The whole thing was built on a series of 18 boss fights with nothing in between. There were no fodder monsters you had to kill through. There were no big temple puzzles you had to solve or anything like that. There was just 18 of these gigantic fucking monsters that you had to beat. And you couldn't just rush in and try to beat them with your new fancy weapon you got in the last dungeon. You had to actually think about how you, as a standard idiot human with nothing but a sword and a bow, were going to beat something that's 30 stories high.
That's actually pretty awesome.
It was the coolest friggin' game. It felt like the music and everything and the art and the design for it was phenomenal, and it just felt so grand and so satisfying when you brought these huge titans down. And the game rewarded you in such a way that the really simple story that they had backing up the mechanics and the gameplay was also extremely powerful in its simplicity. And when it came out on the PS2, the mechanics were really pushing the limits of the system. So when they re-released it, everything just came together so really, really, really well. Other than that, all the other games that I have for my PS3 that I really love are Mean Street titles, Infamous and Infamous 2, Saints Row games. I find those really entertaining.
Yeah. So you could probably find that game in a $5 to $20 bin nowadays. Dodd, what was yours?
This one I've got, once again, he's got a story behind it. This one...
Well, that's why we're bringing up these weird-ass games, because we'll all have a story.
This one was kind of mainstream, and it was a very big deal back in 2008.
We don't want mainstream games.
Well, it was the Ghostbusters video game.
Oh my god, yeah!
That's not mainstream.
And
I got that!
The main reason I bring this up is
I forgot about it.
This is the first story I broke as a game journalist that got picked up by Spike TV and Game Trailers. I went down to the studios in Dallas, went down to Terminal Reality, met the Dallas Ghostbusters, met the entire development team behind it, and they showed me an exclusive cutscene that had never been seen anywhere before. So, like, I'm like, can I post this? They're like, why? Sure as fuck you can. And I uploaded that to Spike TV, and Daniel Kaiser talked about it in one of his segments for that week. And the story even got picked up by Harry Knowles of Ain't It Cool News. I actually called Harry himself and said, man, thank you for picking up my story. I feel totally vindicated now as a journalist. I'm not stupid anymore. And it was just such a fun game. I'm actually going to replay it during the holiday break, because it's one of those games. I went through it. I tried to get all the cursed items. Yeah. I'm short one. So, and I think I know where it is, and it's right in the middle of the game, so I can't just skip to it. So I'm probably just going to sit there, go through it, and it's one of those games where I know I'll never get all the achievements now because the servers are offline. They went offline 2 years ago. But still, tremendously fun game, great soundtrack, well-voiced.
Oh, yeah. Just, like, I completely forgot that I had that game. That was easily one of my favorite games of all time.
Oh, yeah.
Because I love the Ghostbusters movies so friggin' much, having grown up with them. And it's voiced by the actors that are in the films. It's written by Harold Ramis and Dan Aykroyd. And it just, the way the mechanics come together when you're playing it makes you really feel like a Ghostbuster. And they just, they don't give you a lot. They do the whole, you know, Bella thing where they just don't describe you almost at all. So you can really just put yourself in the character's shoes and play.
Now, one of the neat things about the Ghostbusters game, this will be my last story attached to it, is a couple of years ago, once again, tying back to good old Dallas, I went down to Dallas during the whole swine flu thing. Guess who got the swine flu?
You.
So I was,
actually think I remember this.
Yeah. So I was in PR school at the time. I told the teachers, "Hey, I'm feeling really sick." I went to the nurse's office. They're like, "Mike, you've got the swine flu. Fucking go home now, and don't you come back for 2 weeks." So I'm like, "But I've got a sign. Get the fuck out of here." So I went home, sat in my room. And I did three things. Now, if you guys knew me back in the day, I did my television station. My TV was on one of three things: a video game, the Weather Network, or porn. The porn was never there because it was erotic. It was there for noise. Because I got the idea from watching The X-Files. Mulder used to watch porn for fun, so I'm like,
eh, yeah, he just has like his entire room in his apartment is just porn. So, it's just like stacked to the roof, and then you can't even walk into his bedroom. It's like right up to the door, just a wall, and he just like puts something in there and then closes the door. You're like, oh, you sleep on your couch because your room is full of porn.
Yep, that's where I picked up that little personality quirk. Thanks, David Duchovny. So yeah, that would be my PS3 game.
Mine would have to be one of those RPGs that I was talking about. I always love to pick up the random RPGs that are on the shelf that are just so Japanese that you're like, this is either going to be mind-blowingly awesome or I'll at least get to laugh my ass off at how quirky it is. But I did one of my favorite buys of all time when I picked this up. I got a game called Valkyria Chronicles. Yeah. It's actually based off of an anime, or the anime is based off the game. I'm not sure. There's an anime of it, which is basically tells the exact same story as the game, but in a different way. And it's got a very unique sort of anime style for art style. But at the same time, it's almost like an artistic, cel-shaded. It's really hard to explain. You'd have to look up pictures and stuff. But the storytelling in it was amazing. Like, I could not get enough until I beat the game, and then it was like, I want a number two now. The gameplay, basically, it's a combination of a shooter meets RPG. So it was like a turn-based. It's like turn-based RTS RPG shooter, all kind of combined into one. So you have a squad of people, each with their own individual stats and job classes, basically. And it was all based around war, where So there'd be tanks and stuff too. So it was all about, like, you'd have a tank buster class, a rifleman, a scout, etc. And you could even have a tank on your team. And it was all about protecting that tank. But when you got a character, like, so it was their turn, you could move so far for stamina. So you had so many stamina points, and every, like, step was a stamina point. But rather than it being RTS and, like, tile-based or anything like that, it was actually third person over the shoulder. And then you had, depending on your weapon and everything, you could aim where you were shooting, and they would have a hit rate within a specific circle. So the higher your accuracy, the smaller the circle would be. And you get critical hits if you shot them in the head, et cetera, et cetera. Tanks would have weak points. You could blow up certain parts of buildings. It was just everything that I love about all of those different genres rolled into one with an epic art style and storyline. And I think, you, like, unlike these other games, you're not going to find this for $5 to $20 used. It's still going to be about $40 anywhere that I've seen it. I'm not sure about eBay, but I know EB Games still has them at $40. So that would be my recommendation. It, if you'd like RPGs and tactics, definitely grab that one. Check it out or something. Onward to... we'll do Xbox 360 next. Thinking about that, our past conversation there about how it's more of a dude bro console almost. I looked over at my shelf and was like, Halo, Call of Duty, Battlefield.
You're one of those fucking guys.
Well, that's just it. I kind of have it, actually, the way he described each of those consoles. I have those specific games. My PS3 is just loaded with RPGs. I'm trying to... Mike, you start with your 360 game.
Well, you probably wouldn't know what to look at. I mean, I'm a huge music gamer. You look at my games, Guitar Hero, Guitar Hero, Guitar Hero, Guitar Hero, Rock Band, 1, 2, 3, Beatles Rock Band, Green Day Rock Band, SingStar, even American Idol, because it had a selection of songs that weren't available in other games. I've got Band Hero. I love music, and I love the fact that it gave me a chance to sing, and I'm not known for my singing voice, but evidently I don't suck. In fact, one of the few games I've almost got a really, really good gamer score at is Rock Band Green Day. I think I could probably perfect that if I can get somebody with a drum set over here. But yeah, I love music games. Another game for the console that consumed my life completely by accident: Skyrim.
Skyrim's so mainstream, though.
Well, the thing is, I went into it.
It is because it's good.
I went into it knowing nothing. I went to an event. Microsoft had me and Scotty go to something, and we're talking with one of the developers from Bethesda. I could give a shit less. I really could. Don't care. And Bethesda sends it to me 2 or 3 weeks before release. So, like, hey, you can say anything you want, just don't give a full review, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, all right, whatever. So, late one, I think it was a Monday night, it's about 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm like, fuck, I'm bored. Oh, I'll try it. Okay, it's 7 a.m. Oh, one more mission.
Oh, God, yeah.
It's 7 o'clock at night. Oh, fuck, maybe I should sleep. Okay, well, Blair's making dinner, I'll sleep for 20 minutes, okay. I stayed up for 36 hours fucking straight, just consumed. Blair actually at Christmas time called herself a Skyrim widow, because I missed Christmas morning at, I think, the family, because I was staying up all night playing Skyrim. I'm like, fuck presents, man, I'm the Dragonborn. And it was so much fun, and I haven't had a game that's given me that rich an experience.
I just had the best picture in my mind of you holding a sword and shield, having the Skyrim helmet on, staring at, like, a Christmas tree, being like, fuck presents, I'm the dragon.
Fusroda, motherfucker!
Oh, God.
Fucking... I was actually, like, wildly disappointed when I was playing that game, and they were just like, you lured the dragon shout, and I'm like, fuck yeah, and I run outside, I boost, and like a guy falls over, and I'm like, wait, what the hell was that? Where's my road dog? It's like, oh, you gotta find that someplace. You don't find that until way later, and I'm just like, oh.
The thing that I always find kind of interesting about that, how, like, yeah, you start with foos, and it's like, how come those two other syllables make it so much more powerful?
That's dragon speech or some crap. I don't know.
Yeah, it's fucked up.
Magic did it. A wizard. A wizard did it, and that's...
did it.
And
magic.
Yeah.
Lots and lots of magic.
Because magic, and also shut up.
And also shut up.
That's, like, that's about the best we've got, pretty much, at that point. Now... Here's a I really wish I could have played those games on computer, though. Like, Skyrim and... What was the other one? All of the Bethesda games that I managed to get on my PS3. Fallout 3, Fallout New Vegas. I was nuts over. But I could not get those games to work really well on my PS3. They had the shittiest ports to PS3 you could ever imagine. Like, none of the extra content even came out for Skyrim on the PS3 until, like, a month ago. So none of the DLC and stuff like that was ever available. And just all the DLC was available for Fallout New Vegas, but half of it was entirely unplayable. Like, it just locked down your machine and everything kept getting really buggy. They never patched any of it, and I could never really find a computer to play it on. I wanted to do, like, my show Blast Processing. I wanted to do Blast Processing playthroughs of some of those games, despite the fact that they're long and, like, drawn out. I find that I can, at least in my opinion, be rather entertaining running through the wasteland shooting people. So, alas, opportunity missed.
Yeah, I find a lot of Bethesda games are like that, though. Like, they always have the glitches, and, like, day one, if you don't take the first day update, usually you're going to have some sort of game-breaking glitch somewhere that you will find normally.
Yeah.
And even then, every Bethesda game that I have managed to play or watched people play, there's always spots in the map where you fall through because they've tried to make it too damn intricate. For people not to find a small hole.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, because those games are so fucking big. Like, just Skyrim in general is gigantic, and the Fallout games were also just ridiculously huge, and with Fallout New Vegas especially, they really rushed that game out. Or at least it felt like they rushed it out, because they announced it within, like, only a month or so before the game came out.
Well, they probably just reused everything.
Well, it wasn't really Fallout 4, it was like Fallout 3.5. They used the same engines and they created, like, new content with the same stuff. But with that, though, they didn't really playtest it enough, and they left a lot of the playtesting up to kind of the general public. So, in my opinion, shit kind of fell apart.
Yeah.
Like, the game was like, you couldn't play those games when they came out for, like, Skyrim, you couldn't play on the PlayStation when it first came out for the PlayStation, because there was these, like, just horrible glitches and bugs that just ruined the game for you and caused you to have to reset and start over a lot.
So, do you have an Xbox game that's kind of out of the ordinary on your shelf?
Me?
Yeah.
I don't have an Xbox.
Oh, you don't have an Xbox?
I don't have an Xbox 360. My roommate has one, and, like, I've never, like, beyond Gears of War and Halo, I've really, really never had an interest in picking up an Xbox.
Oh, okay.
like, all the games that I wanted to play were on the PlayStation. There were a few that weren't, and it never really drew me in as a thing, especially then considering that I was hearing that it was having so many problems, and they're like, yeah, when you buy the system, you have to also buy a whole bunch of stuff for not if it breaks down, but when it breaks down, and all this extra things. So I was like, you know what? I don't want to deal with that. I've never had problems with PlayStation in the past, and I have my, like, I'm not saying that they don't break down, but mine's never had any issues. It's always just been a really pleasant experience for me.
Well, we'll give you a cop out on this one then. Do you have another PS3 one?
another PS3 game?
Yeah.
Like, I don't have my games in front of me, and I haven't been playing my PS3 in a while. One that I got recently that I'm really excited about playing is Saints Row 3.
You should try Persona 4 Arena.
Persona, you say?
Yeah, the Persona games are pretty decent.
This one, it's a fighting game based upon the RPG, and it's just really fucking good, and nobody talks about it. Now, it's more a competitive level fighter, but it's so good. Yeah. And I couldn't go this entire podcast without talking about fighting games. That's one thing I use my PlayStation 4 exclusively. I will not get Fighters unless they're on PS3. They just tend to run better for me. When I used to play competitive Street Fighter, we would only play on PlayStation 3, as my stick was tournament legal on PlayStation 3.
Oh, nice.
I've got a multi-stick that can go between the two consoles, but if I always fall back on my Mad Catz T or my Street Fighter X Tekken stick. There's just a lot of really good fighters on PS3, plus the ports of, like, stuff like, say, Tekken were just better, I thought. The Super Street Fighter Arcade Edition, I just thought was better on the console. I'm trying to think if there's any other games I can really think of. You know, we should really talk about the Wii.
Yeah, I'll even just skip my Xbox One because literally my shelf has almost all shooters. The only two of note that are RPGs that I really enjoyed, Last Remnant, which a lot of people that are Square Enix fans didn't like that one, and Lost Odyssey. They're very interesting and unique RPGs. As for the Wii, I have... the best game that I enjoy because it's very unique and uncommon is Muramasa the Demon Blade.
Good damn game.
Yeah, it's a side-scrolling, like, slasher, basically, with RPG elements and a very, very beautiful Japanese-painted art style to it. I don't even know what else to say other than that. It's, like, it's just fucking awesome.
I know there's
and
a
it
port
does,
on the PlayStation Vita
now. Does not need the Wiimote, so that's why I like it. Because fuck motion controls.
Well, I mean, like, okay, I was hugely opposed to the Wii when they announced it. Because I was like, I want my consoles. I want my console games like every other console that Nintendo's made up to this point. I mean, like, I want to keep playing my Zelda games, etc. I don't want to have this motion control where I have to wave my arm around to swing my sword. I just want to push a button and he swings his friggin' sword, okay? Like... Help
the
me
thing
out here.
That pissed me off on that one is Skyward Sword didn't give you the option to change the controls to being able to hit a fucking button.
Yeah, that was because of that. Oh God. I didn't even play Skyward Sword. I was so uninterested by it. But when I got my hands on the system, I was just kind of like moseying around, and I was like, "This is fucking stupid. I really don't like this. I'm gonna make a little me. This is gonna be the dumbest thing." And then I was like, 30 minutes later, like sweating beads. Fighting some random NPC in Wii Boxing. And I stopped and I was like, what the hell am I doing? I'm having an amazing fucking time. And I was like, okay, switch it up. Let's change something else. They had Elebits that came out for that. And that's going to be my game pretty much for the Wii that I'm going to talk about as like, you know, not a hugely popular game, but one that I really enjoyed.
I've actually never heard of it.
Elebits? Look it up. It's... You basically, you're this kid with, like, a little ray gun, and you walk around in an environment that steadily gets larger as you play, but, like, you laser at something, and it's, like, Syndrome's zero-point energy beam that he uses in The Incredibles. Like, you just, like, zap, and it encompasses an object, and you pick that object up using the motion control. You can twist it, you can push it, pull it, shake it, throw it around the room. Like, you can just basically jerk it, and when you let go of the button, you, like, you whip shit all over the place. And when you're doing that, you're, like, shaking objects. These tiny little guys will fall out of it. You need to collect them up with a laser to give your gun more power so you can lift larger objects. And it eventually got to a point where I had, like, a whole, you know, dresser, drawers, was just, like, shaking it. There was just debris flying everywhere. And I was laughing like a crazy person, whipping furniture around a room, like, this is the best! I'm sorry I ever said the system was shit. This is so much fun.
I won't lie, that sounds very entertaining.
Yeah, and then, like, Mario Kart Racing, when I was like, I don't want to have to hold up a controller and steer with it like it's a steering wheel, like, because you can put the controller inside the little plastic steering wheel and steer with it. I'm like, I don't want to do that. This is exhausting. Oh my God. And then again, like, 10 minutes in, I'm like, I'm having the best time of my fucking life. Like, I'm sorry I ever said that this game was going to be crap. I'm having so much fun. And that, I think, is kind of what the Wii did, was that it was just like, okay, console games are nice. I think we've done enough of those. We're going to just try something different now.
Try being goofy and fucking around, which, well, it does work.
It seems to be the staple of things that they do. Like, they get really comfortable and good at one thing. Not the best, but they get comfortable and good at it. And then they just, like, okay, that's nice. We've done that. I'm not going to keep doing it, though. I'm going to keep changing and doing something else. Keep being innovative. Keep trying new things.
I will admit that just about every Nintendo first party game is always good. Like, you never really get a Nintendo licensed game that you're like, this is complete and utter shit.
Mario Wall Street or whatever the hell that was that came out.
Wall Street?
Yeah, there is a Nintendo what? Finance game that came out a couple years ago. That game was kind of stupid. And I'm the only one that played that one, evidently.
I've never even heard of it, but now...
It's hard to find. I'll tell you that much. I kind of wish I kept
Fortune mine. Street?
Or something like that, yeah.
Fortune Street was actually made by Square Enix.
Well, fuck you, then.
No, that explains it. Fucking Square Enix. Sorry.
That's like one of the few Square Enix games I don't have and don't really plan to ever get.
No interest.
Yeah. Well, I think it was supposed to be like a Monopoly knockoff for Mario characters, wasn't it? Mario and Dragon Quest, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say that they were included in that, which is just the weirdest fucking matchup there is.
Yeah.
Is that the game you're going to go
no,
with?
No. My games for the Wii, one is expected, one probably isn't. One game, I had to hunt for this fucker for so long, and especially to find a fight stick that was compatible with it.
Oh,
Tatsunoko versus Capcom.
Yeah, you're fucking trying to find one of them. For
oh my god, Connell. I drove from where I live now all the way up to Ottawa searching every single EB Games, Pawn Shop, Walmart, Zellers, you name it, looking for a fight stick.
Jeez.
Where did I find it? Buffalo. Of all the fucking places. And it's such a good game. But it never got ported to Xbox Live or PSN. And people are like saying, just port the fucker. It'll sell. If it's $20, we'll pay it. But it was licensed exclusively to the Wii. It's a sad, sad state that that's where it's going to stay. Because it's a great game. And it's cool being having the people from Battle of the Planets beat the fuck out of Frank West. And shit like that. It's really cool. Another one. This comes to us from Atlas Software. Trauma Team. Holy shit is that. You're basically like a surgeon and you have to do surgeries and shit, but there's like a supernatural element to it. There's like someone like trying to kill you or something. I got 3/4 of the way through it before I got stuck, but it's really fucking cool, and it really made motion controls make sense for me. Like, cut this incision, but make sure you don't nick any major arteries, or make sure he doesn't bleed out. So make sure you're using antiseptic to disinfect the area that you're going to be cutting. Use iodine after every incision. And it was really, really cool.
Yeah.
They should make Surgeon Simulator be for Wii U or something.
I don't know if it would work as well, because Nintendo's trying to push the pad really, really, really hard for the Wii U, and I think that's going to be
what's failing.
Yeah, that's what's going to cause Wii U problems down the road. I mean, there's a Wii U Pro controller. I've barely used mine. In fact, I think I need to charge it. Because that's how little I actually use the thing. I'm used to using the pad for games, and for a lot of third-party games, it's shit.
Yeah.
What the hell was that?
Oh, yeah, Soul Patch is home, and he's, like, got company over, apparently. Maybe he's been drinking the apple juice again, I don't know. This kid's a fucking loon. You don't even know. I have to live with what is effectively just, like, a crazy person.
I do that, too, but... She stopped listening to the prototype, so...
Well, because she gets to sit there and listen to half of it live.
Yeah, true.
I'm trying to think of other games that really kind of stood out in this generation. One thing that really disappointed me is I don't think Nintendo embraced what should have been a fantastic collection of Mario games. And last 2 years ago, I think it was, we got Super Mario All-Stars Limited Edition for the Wii. That disc... I think Super Mario All-Stars by itself is about 5 megabytes, if you look at a ROM. In fact, I'm pretty sure one of us could probably check that out. You know, I'm going to find that out right now. Just how big the ROM file is. And when I got it, I was super excited. Came as limited edition packaging. Man, this is going to be cool. And what did I get? I got a disc with a straight-up port of the game. And why the fuck are you being retarded? Sorry. I'm trying to type this on my Mac with one hand. It's really awkward. But, yeah, okay. There it is. There it is. Super Mario All-Star. I'm going to look at the information here. It is 2.1 megabytes on disk. They charged you $50 for this thing, and on the secondary market, I know it can go for a lot more. And you got a soundtrack CD for it, and I was always really sad that Nintendo never did special editions last generation. And think about that. You never saw a lot of special editions in the PS2 Xbox era. You'd see a few here and there. But you couldn't always count on a major game having them.
Well, yeah, I mean, if they had a fucking thrown us like a Zelda statue or anything like that, Mario statue, people would have bought that shit up so fast.
Oh, yeah. The closest thing we've ever gotten to a Mario statue from Nintendo, to my knowledge, is the Super Mario Nintendo Club statue that in 2011.
Yeah, Nintendo Club actually gets a lot of cool stuff.
Oh, but not in North America, we don't. Japan gets amazing stuff. Europe gets amazing stuff. North America gets the dollar store version of the Nintendo Club America things. I mean, this year, for reaching platinum, which is 600 coins, which you get by collecting what is, in essence, cereal box tops. You get posters, which are cool, I'll give you that, but they're always really lame. In fact, I'm actually just going to see how much the Club Nintendo stuff is typically worth. I think the coolest thing I got last year was the gold nunchuck for my Nintendo Wii, and my wife is cackling in the other room. I can hear it. The Club Nintendo statue, sorry, for 2010, which came in a giant coin block, has a buy it now of $105. The Super Mario 2 Galaxy soundtrack is going for $31. Club Nintendo Link to the Past posters, which is this year's platinum reward, is currently going, it's in a bidding war, and it's at 9 bids at $63 for 3 posters.
Jeez.
And Microsoft and Sony never did any real loyalty programs. Now, there were programs you could use to get the odd bit of Microsoft points. In fact, there was an Xbox Live card you could get. I think this was back in the early days of the Xbox, where you could get discounts at, like, McDonald's and shit. And it was a physical card. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's fucked up.
Oh, yeah. And
it's awesome, but fucked up.
And nobody remembers it. But I do.
Do you have one?
I do not, but
then you suck.
I always had the Nintendo stuff, and that's something I've always been very loyal to Nintendo. I mean, I even had a GameCube during the dark era, as I consider it. Mind you, I only got that because of Resident Evil, the remake, which they really should have done 2 and 3. Don't know why they never did. Anyway, I don't know. I think Nintendo treats its fans well, but doesn't treat its gamers well, if you get what I'm saying. Like,
yeah, I mean, it doesn't exactly... They don't cater to the fact that hardcore gamers still exist.
Mm-hmm. We're just sort of left here as here. Have something meh.
But, I mean, I can't really blame them, considering we are a much smaller populace as a whole that exists, because casual gamers are the largest market.
Yeah.
So.
Now, I'm just looking to finish up what I was talking about Nintendo and Club Nintendo. They had a Mario-branded GameCube controller, which looks really nice. A golden Wii steering wheel.
Zelda Skyward Sword Collector's Edition Wiimote is really cool.
I've got that, actually. Yeah. And
I did get that.
They have a import Super Nintendo Classic controller for your Wii. So not that crappy Classic Pro controller. No, this is a Super Nintendo. It's actually the casing.
Yeah, that thing's fucking cool.
I need to get one of these.
That sounds so
And cool. There's a lot of really neat things here on here that just we don't get. And I wish Microsoft would do something for us. But then again, I look at how well Xbox Live runs. I'm okay with that. And Sony did something so right when they finally got their heads out of their ass involving the PlayStation Network.
Oh, are you talking about the trophy thing?
Not just trophies. I mean specifically PlayStation Plus. When that hit, all of us were like, oh, fuck that. I'm not paying for something that's already free.
Yeah.
And then they started giving us free games.
Yeah.
And then I learned to shut the hell up.
See, I thought you were talking about I can't remember the exact website, but for PlayStation, you can actually go to a website, you can log in with your actual, your PlayStation Network ID, and you can bid your platinum trophies on stuff that was used in the making of for games and stuff, or really, really rare things. So at one, the last time I looked on there, it was a Hellghast helmet, the prop that they used, that they had modeled in studio and made it. So that's from Killzone. But there's all kinds of crazy, awesome props that would be worth thousands and thousands of dollars. And there's probably a network of, you know, I don't want to say 10,000 because that might be a small amount, but there is a very few people that do it or know about it or have that many platinum trophies. But it's another one of those customer loyalty things that people don't really know about, but does exist.
I wouldn't be able to bid shit. I've only got a few gold trophies. I've got nothing platinum.
Yeah, I think I got one platinum.
Now, I know Mike Laidman from our site. He's like a ridiculous Assassin's Creed fan. I know he's got a shit ton of platinums.
Jesus.
So, Mike, if you're listening, go do it.
Yeah, I think the only platinum I have is actually for Assassin's Creed 2 or one of them. I don't remember. Yeah, so anyway, I think we've pretty much got this show wrapped up for today before we keep rambling on about random things, because we could talk about the last/current. We're still in that kind of point where we can't say transition last generation period. Yet. Yeah, we're in the transition period. So the PS3, the Xbox 360, and the Wii generation, we could talk about them for fucking hours.
Well, okay, here's a question before we sign off. Each system, 3 games, recommend.
Okay, you go first.
Okay, PlayStation 3, I'm recommending you get God of War. God of War 3 is what I would recommend.
Kratos kills all the things, the game.
Pretty much. Metal Gear Solid 4, or the collection, where you get everything in one. I would also recommend The Last of Us.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful.
Damn, I was going to use that.
Xbox 360, Rock Band 3, Halo Reach, and the Mass Effect series, just because it's in essence one game, in my opinion. For the Wii, I would recommend Mario Kart. Obviously, Wii Sports goes without saying. But I would really recommend you guys track down Trauma Team. It's an unexpected gem from that system, and I really wish more people had played it. Or, alternatively, if you can get the Kirby's Dream Land Collection, which is, like, all the Kirby's, including, like, the Game Boy. I think they're missing, like, maybe 4 or 5 games, but it's, like, everything. And it was sold for, like, $25. So if you can find it, totally worth it.
For me, I would say for PlayStation 3, Valkyria Chronicles for sure. I was going to say The Last of Us, but fuck you. I would say Disgaea 3. It's a very quirky it's like a strategy tiled game. Very funny. Like, I was laughing my ass off in that game. And I'll go with Cross Edge. It's kind of a mix-up between all of the Nippon Ichi Software characters as well as two other companies in another... It's kind of like a turn-based RPG. For Xbox... Which ones did you say again?
I went with... what the fuck did I say? Rock Band 3, Halo Reach, and Mass Effect.
I'm going to go with Blue Dragon, Halo.
Really? Wow.
I like Blue Dragon. I don't care what people say. I enjoy it.
Fuck them.
Well, it was an RPG, right? It was just, it was different, and people don't like different, except people like me. I like when companies try something new, because at least they're not just doing the damn cookie cutter games. But with cookie cutter said, Blue Dragon, then we got Gears of War and Halo. So there's my fucking cookie cutter. For the Wii, I don't know, Fire Emblem, which I think is Dawn of something. I can't remember what the title is for the Fire Emblem one. They're all Fire Emblem from every different generation. Then Mirror Mask of the Demon Blade. And I don't want to recommend Skyward Sword because fuck Skyward Sword. So we're going to go with Super Smash Bros. Brawl.
Oh, you bitch.
This is why you shouldn't have went last.
Stole that out from under me. Five webs.
We never actually went into any of the handhelds.
Well, you know what? That could be a different show.
I don't even play those. I don't even play handheld consoles. I couldn't even comment on that.
Okay, well, do your three for PlayStation 3 and Wii, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I don't play any of the Xbox systems, so I really couldn't comment on them that much. Condemned, I heard, was good. Like, those are some pretty slick games. But, again, I only played, one of them for, 5 minutes. It was pretty sweet. Okay, so, for PlayStation 3, I would recommend, I don't know if anyone said this yet, the Infamous games.
Yep.
Yeah.
Good pick.
Very definitely recommend that. They are probably my favorite games of all time, but that's because I like lightning-based superpowers. Go figure. And I find that the storytelling is just really, really well done in the first one, especially in the second one. It's, so emotional and so moving. At least it was for me.
With that note, what do you think about Infamous Second Son coming out? Because it's going to be fire powers.
I'm trying not to read too much into it. But, yeah, it's going to be, a different character. What they say is, smoke powers.
Well, shit, I don't really want to spoil anything if you're not looking into it. It's apparently he's got the ability to steal the powers of other people that are like them.
Okay.
And one of his main powers is the fire one. First one that he got was fire. So, his power is absorbing the powers of the other.
And it kind of looks like what the Beast was doing at the end of the second game, a little bit. So I'm curious as to whether or not he's related to Cole at all.
Yeah, I don't know.
Definitely the Infamous games. Huge, huge thumbs up on that. Mass Effect games. I don't know if those were mentioned.
Yeah, I included them.
Oh, yeah, you do. God damn. How many games do we have to do per system?
Just three.
Just three games per system?
You only have two systems to do. Come on.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to think. Because I will play a game on a system to death, and I don't have a huge collection of console games. Oh yeah, Dynasty Warriors.
I like Dynasty Warriors Gundam. That was my thing.
Dynasty Warriors Empires. The Empires series of the games are my favorite because they're not let's drop you into a war field and then make you do stupid things. It's no, everything, you make your own character, you start your own nation, and you try to conquer China on your own, and every fight that you get into is start to back your fight.
Yeah.
You're not fighting in someone else's war, you're doing your own thing. Unless you want to do that, which you can also do. It takes the mechanics from a really cool game and then just really puts them where I think they should be.
I only had 15 minutes with an Empires game, but it looked like it was a hell of a lot more depth to it than the normal ones.
Oh, God, yeah. The Empires games had so much more depth to them because, there wasn't any story involved. So you literally just made up your own shit as you went along. It was just, too much fun. Did anybody say the Ghostbusters games?
I did not.
Okay, definitely recommend that for the PS3. Ghostbusters. Go out and buy the crap out of that, because those guys need all the money that they can get, A, and B, it is just absolutely worth your time.
Although, I think it worked better on the 360, because I think there was a trophy glitch, but even though it doesn't matter, you're going to play it for playing the game.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it's there for the gameplay, at least for me. For the Wii, Elebits was one. The Wii Sports games I find to be hugely fun, especially as a party game. Because people that come over, it takes them like 5 minutes to make a little version of themselves in like the little me section, and then you just like have little sword fights and, you know, go cycling and boxing and stuff like that together. It's actually entertaining. Like, the golf is actually fun. So, you know, do what you can. But it really lends itself to the motion controllers, and that makes it really difficult to play. Haven't played a huge amount of games on the Wii, so it's hard to say, other than like the Mario Party games and Resident Evil 4's like third remake. Chronicles. Resident Evil Chronicles. Darkseid Chronicles.
Very good choice.
Yeah, because they got the whole like rail gun shooter thing.
And it worked.
And it worked. Like, I was actually really surprised with how well it worked. And also, if you like the Resident Evil games for their story and lore, which I'm like one of a handful of people. like, so many people think it's really ridiculous. And I'm like, you know what? I agree. It is ridiculous. But I find it entertaining and I want to know what's going on. They tell a lot of the stuff that wasn't really revealed in the standard games, and allow you to kind of experience those games if you want to, front to back, but just as a rail shooter as opposed to as a survival horror. And they were fun games. Like, they were pretty cool.
The only other, I kind of want to piggyback on that, and I would highly recommend House of the Dead Overkill.
Oh, yeah.
If you like a good rail shooter.
Oh, I used to play this game so much.
It's ridiculous and offensive, and that's why it's amazing.
Offensive.
I guess that pretty much does it for us today. We should have one more show, at least one or two more shows in us before the holiday break. We are going to record a couple during the break here, me and Jamie. There'll be a lot of general topics, so don't expect a whole super huge chunk of research. In fact, Jamie, we should record a couple of DVD commentaries on video game movies.
Yeah, we might. We're trying to keep it casual for the month or two of the holidays right now, so.
Yeah, like basically, Twig comes back in the full production January 15th, more or less. We stop production around the 17th, so we get just under a month off.
And then you can expect plenty of developer versus media guy banter like we usually do.
Exactly.
Lots of research and proper shit rather than us just shooting the shit. And hey, we might get Connell back in every now and then.
Exactly.
Hey, always happy to do shows. Always happy.
All right then, guys. So I guess for the prototype, I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd.
I've been Connell Macbeth, better known as Dr. Holocaust.
And I've been Jamie J.J. Johnston saying, you could die tomorrow, so game on.